Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erev and Daf Nun Vav. We are 11 lines from the top of the Amud. It says, the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a Brisa. Bala Rabba, when it comes to square, a city which is round. So, when we speak about square, we're just speaking about boxing the city into straight lines, establishing the boundary of a city with straight lines, with corners, 90-degree corners. We don't necessarily mean an actual square. It could be a rectangle. But the point is that if the city does not have straight-line boundaries, it's a circle or jagged, you have to go ahead and reconfigure that city, or virtually reconfigure it, in order to establish a city which is now shaped as a box, and then calculate your tchum, your boundary, 2,000 amma beyond that newly reconfigured, that virtually designed boxed city. So if the city is already a box, you don't need to tamper with it. But if it's a city that needs to be boxed, it's a round city, then you go ahead and adjust it. You need to configure the boundaries of the city with straight lines, with corners. And we learned this from the Orei Halevim. We learned this back on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Just as the cities of the Levim needed to be configured in this manner, as boxes, as squares, as rectangles. Likewise, when we go ahead and establish a tchum around a city for the purpose of Shabbos, we take that city and we virtually reconfigure it as a square, and then calculate the boundaries from that outline beyond. Now, if we have a round city that needs to be squared, so two things happen. You need to square it. Number two, the directions of the city, the north of the city, needs to directly face due north of the world. It needs to align with the Ruchai Soilam. North needs to face north, south will face south. Tan Rabban, Bala Rabba, when he's going ahead and squaring the city, Miraba Viribua Oilam. He needs to square it in a way where it aligns and faces the directions of the world. Noisan Tzvayna, Letzvayna Oilam. He takes the north of the city and has it face the north direction of the world. Udraima, Udraim Oilam. The south of the city will face due south. Now, how does a person determine which way is north, which way is south, in the absence of a GPS? The Gemara will give us two formulas. V'simanech, what is your indicator? Which way is north, which way is south? Eglah b'tzafein. Take a look at the heavenly constellations, the mazalis. You have the Eglah, which is the calf, which is known as the Taurus bull. That's going to be b'tzafein, due north. V'akrav, this is the scorpion, a different type of mazal. L'dorim, that's going to be in the south. So take a look at the mazalis up in the sky and can figure out which way is north, which way is south. Rabbi Yossi Omer, an alternate route is like this. Im ein yadei l'rabba, b'rubo olam, b'rubo shel olam. If he has no understanding of the mazalis and he can't use this formula, so how is he meant to do it? M'rabba kiminat kufa. And he takes a look at the location of the sun and will determine through that which direction to face. Because depending on the seasons of the year, the sun is found in different locations. Ketzad, how's that? Chama yoytza b'yayim aruch, v'sheikas b'yayim aruch, zeo p'nei tzafen. So the sun will always rise in the east and set in the west. However, there are different lengths of days. We have longer days in the summer, shorter days in the winter. So how do we get a long day? The sun is always rising in Mizrach and setting in Maariv. The answer is that during those longer days, the sun will take a more circular route to get from one side to the other. It's going to rise east, but at which point of Mizrach? At the northeastern corner of Mizrach. So up near the Tzafen, that's where it's going to rise. And then it's going to make its way around three sides of the world, meaning it's going to go along the Mizrach, the eastern side, then go around the south, come back around west, like a U-turn, and then set where? At the northwest corner. So it's going to make its rounds around the world. East, then south, and then west. So on the Yom Aruch, on the long day of the year, let's say the longest day of the year, the sun will come up from the northeast corner, make its way all around the world, back to the northwestern corner, and then set. So if you're holding at that point in the year, and you take a look at where the sun rises, you can figure out which direction you're facing. Chama yoytza b'yayim aruch. Where does the sun leave, sun rise, on that long day? V'sheikas b'yayim aruch. And where does it set on that long day? Zeo p'nei tzofen. That's going to be on the tzofen side, on the northern side of the world. So it comes out from northeast and sets northwest. What about on the shortest day of the year? Then it's just the opposite. It's going to rise from the east, but from which part of the east? Southeast corner. And set at southwest corner. So it's a very direct route. It's a short day. So it rises east and sets west, but it takes a very direct route. It doesn't cover much. It only covers the south side of the world. It runs along the south side. And that's it. In contrast to the long day where it ran around the world. It ran along the east, over the south, and back around the west. So on the short day, Chama Yoytze B'Yom Kotzer, V'Shekas B'Yom Kotzer, from where does the sun rise on that short day? Which point does it come out? V'Shekas B'Yom Kotzer, and where does it set on that short day? At the south corners. Zeo Pnei Dorim. That's the Dorim side of the world. Now, what about during the equinox, when it's even day, even night? Tkufas Nisan, Tkufas Tishrei. The equinox of Nisan and of Tishrei, when the days and the nights are equally long. So there, the sun will rise due east, in the middle of the eastern side of the world, and set in the middle of the west. Chama Yoytze B'Chatzi Mizrach, comes out in the middle of the eastern side. Shekas B'Chatzi Marv, and sets due west, in the middle of the western side. And that's how we get equal days and equal nights. So this formula can be used to determine direction and location. You take a look at where the sun is situated at any given point during the year, and you can figure from there which direction you're facing. Because you know that on the long days, the sun comes out from one point. On the short days, it comes out from another point. So based on that, you could determine location. Where do we find this concept in the Pasuk? That the sun is visible along certain specific sides of the world and is invisible in other locations, meaning it's always going to be running along the south, no matter which day of the year we're speaking about. And it's always going to be invisible along the north. That's during nighttime. That's when the sun is hiding behind the earth. So along Dorim, along the south, the sun is always visible. Along Tzofen, it's not. Mizrach and Marav, that depends on seasons. Sometimes on the long days, the sun runs across the Mizrach and the Marav as well. Because it runs all along those three sides, Mizrach, Dorim, and Marav. Whereas on the short days, the sun will not be running along Mizrach HaMarav, rather only along the south side. So what do you find this in the Pasuk? Shenema Hoylech al Dorim. Hoylech means it traverses it. It runs through the Dorim. It's visible as it's going along the south side. V'soyv al Tzofen. And it goes behind Tzofen, meaning it's not visible when it's running along the north side of the horizon. Hoylech al Dorim b'yayim. When we speak about Hoylech al Dorim, that's b'yayim, when it's visible. V'saviv al Tzofen, when it's making its rounds around the Tzofen, it's not visible, that means b'layla. At night, it's going behind the northern side of the horizon, and you don't see it. So that's a given fact. South, it's always going to be visible. North, it won't be visible. What about east and west? That depends on the time of the year. Soiviv Soiviv Holech Ruach. So here we have both descriptions. Soiviv Soiviv indicates that it's not seen. Holech indicates that it is seen. Which direction of the world are we speaking about? Elu Pnei Mizrach Pnei Marv. It's referring to the eastern and western sides of the world. Shepa'amam Alechasan. Sometimes the sun is visible along those sides as well. For instance, during the summer, where it's going to be traveling along those sides of the world and visible, running along the east and the west. And sometimes it merely goes around it, meaning it's not visible along those sides. For instance, on the shortest day of the year, the sun will only be visible while it travels along the southern side of the horizon, meaning it's going to be coming from east directly to west, along the south of the world, and won't be visible at all along the east-west, and needless to say, north. Okay, so based on this concept, we can figure out location based on the position of the sun. Av Mesharshia, lesnu lahan nikloli. He negated these formulas. We can't follow these formulas. Because the sun, we learned in the Brice, we just said that the sun on the longest day of the year, for instance, will rise from the corner. Which corner? Northeast. And will set all the way on the other side. It's going to make its rounds throughout the world, come back around, U-turn, up to the northwest corner, indicating the sun rises and sets at the corner. On the shortest day of the year, it's just the opposite. It takes a very direct route. It rises southeast, runs across the south, and lands right there, sets in the corner of the southwest corner. So this indicates that the sun rises and sets at corners. Rishashi says it's inaccurate. Apparently he's simply coming to clarify things. He agreed with the concept, with the formula that the sun travels differently depending on the year, but on the day of the year, but this description as the sun rising and setting at corners, he says that's inaccurate. Because it's never going to rise and set at a corner. Even say during the longest day of the year, that it takes a circular indirect route from where it rises to where it sets, and that makes the day longer. But that's not to say that it's going to rise and set at a corner. It doesn't rise at the northeast corner. It's going to be a bit removed off that corner, towards the west, towards the south. And likewise, on the shortest day of the year, it's not going to rise at the southeast corner. Rather, it's going to be pushed off a little bit off that corner towards the north. So the description is a bit inaccurate. That's what he's coming to clarify. As we see in the Braisa, the sun never rose from the actual corner, Mizrach Tzavay, northeast, Vishaka Bekerem Arvaz Dremis, and set at the corner, at the south, at the northwest corner, meaning during the longest day of the year. It doesn't happen. It doesn't actually take place at the corner itself. And likewise, during the shortest day of the year, it doesn't come in, and it doesn't come out and set at the corner. And the Chama never came out of the corner, the southeast corner of Ashaka Bekeren Maravas Dremis, and landed and set at the corner of Maradarim, which is southwest. So the concept he agrees with, but the exact description here, he feels needs elaboration because it's not actually at the corner that this will take place, but it's a bit off the corner. Okay, continues the Gemara. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel was, the Gemara tells us, well-versed in medicine and astronomy. So Shmuel will present for us another topic related to astronomy. In Tkufas Nisan Nefeles, so the solar year is comprised of how many days? 365 and a quarter. 365 days and 6 hours, which is split into the 4 seasons, spring, summer, fall, and winter, with each season being a quarter of that total amount of days. So split it into 4, you have 91 days, 13 weeks, plus 7.5 hours per season. Multiply that by 4, you have 365 days and 6 hours. Now, as Rashi explains for us, the first kufa, the first season of Nisan during Bria Soilam was initiated when? At that first Wednesday, on Tuesday night, the beginning of Wednesday. Day begins at night. So that's when the Ma'iris, the sun, the moon, the celestial bodies were activated. And the Tzkuvas Nisan began at the beginning of that fourth day of the creation of the world. So at 0 hour, that's when it began. Now, that's going to result in the fact that Tkufas Nisan, this spring season, will always begin either at the beginning of the day, at the first hour, or after 6 hours, after 12, 18, 24. It's always going to be at a quarter point along the 24-hour cycle, because the difference between one year and the other is only 6 hours, right? 365 days plus 6 hours. So if the Tzkufa of Nisan during this year began at the first hour of the day, the next year it's going to be pushed over 6 hours. It's going to begin after the sixth hour, and so on and so forth. That's number one. Now, based on that, we can make a simple calculation to figure out when the next season will begin. It's always going to be 7.5 hours removed, because the gap between seasons is 91 days and 7.5 hours. So the Nisan season begins at the beginning of the day, at the first hour. When does the next Tekufa begin? 91 days, 7.5 hours later. Which hour in the day? It's going to begin after 7.5 hours. So this was at the first hour. The next one will be 7.5 hours into the day. And the Tekufa following that will be pushed over 7.5 hours. And so on and so forth. So let's see the Gemara. Omar Shmuel, ain't Tekufas Nisan nefeles? Tekufas Nisan, the first season, will always fall out at a quarter point, some of the one quarter point within a 24-hour cycle. Ela ba'arba rivei hayom. It falls out on one of those quarter points. Or b'tchilas hayom, or b'tchilas halayla, either at the beginning of the day or beginning of the night. Or b'chatzi hayom, or b'chatzi halayla. Or halfway through the day, after 6 hours, or halfway through the night, after 6 hours of the night. Because Nisan is always going to be an even number. It's always going to start at the beginning, the middle of the day, or beginning, middle of the night, at a 6 hour point. And based on that, that leads us to the next thing. Vein tkuvas tamas nefeles. The tkuvas of tamas will always fall out. Ela oy ba'achas mechza, oy b'sheva mechza. Either after 1.5 hours of a day, or after 7.5 hours of a day. Be'yayim, whether of the day, be'yayim, whether of the night. So for instance, if the Nisan season began at the beginning of a day, the first hour, so the next Tkufa, which is Tammuz, the summer season, will begin at the 7.5 hour point of the day. Or if the Nisan began at the 6 hour point, after 6 hours, so when is going to be the Tkufas Tammuz? 7.5 hours later, which is 1.5 hours into the night. Because day is 12 hours, the night is 12 hours. So it's a simple calculation. And then that leads us to the next Tkufa. What about the Tkufa of Tishrei, the fall season? That's going to be pushed over another 7.5 hours. Ve'en Tkufa Tishrei nefeles, elo oy b'sholi shoyis, oy b'teisha shoyis. Either after 3 hours, or after 9 hours. Ben b'yayim, ben b'layla, whether the day hours or the night hours. So for instance, if Nisan fell out at the beginning of the day, Tammuz 7.5 hours into the day, Tishrei will be 7.5 hours later, which takes us into 3 hours of the night. Very simple. That takes us to the next thing. Ve'en tkufas tevas nefeles, elo oy ba'arba mechza, oy ba'asra mechza, ve'en b'yayim, ve'en b'layla. So the last season of Tevis will fall out at the 4.5 hour mark, or the 10.5 hour mark of either day or night. So working along with our illustration where we have Nisan falling out, for instance, at the beginning of the day, we have Tammuz 7.5 hours later, so it's 7.5 hours into the day, we have Tishrei, pushed over another 7.5, which is now the third hour of the night. And the final Tkufa of Teves, in this configuration, will fall out 7.5 hours later into the night, which is 10.5 hours into the night. So this is the formula that I'm going to employ. And that it's a very simple formula that explains for us that everything is based on where Nisan falls out, and everything else follows. Why is that? Because the difference, the gap between the Tkufa is Aset. V'ein bein Tkufa l'Tkufa el tishim echad yoyim v'shev asham somechza. The discrepancy, the gap between one Tkufa and the other is 91 days, which is exactly 13 weeks, plus a couple of spare hours of v'shev asham somechza, 7.5 hours, so that results in the above-mentioned formula. There's one more thing we need to know, is that there's the concept of the Shiva Koich Ve'Leches, seven heavenly bodies which are actually seen, visible to a person's eye without using any instruments. And Hashem granted them some form of governance. Hashem governs the world through them in somewhat way. And they all rotate hourly. What are these seven things? We have the Sun, the Moon, Mars, Saturn, Jupiter, Mercury, and Venus. So these seven bodies rotate hourly. So the Tkufa of Nisan, which began, let's say, during the Mazel of the Moon, Levana. So on which Mazel will the next Kufa fall out during the governance of which one of these celestial bodies? So if the difference between one Kufa and the other, discrepancy is 7.5 hours, so seven is the entire cycle of these bodies. You've gone around the entire cycle. You came back, you started with Moon, you came back to the Moon, but it's a half hour later, because 7.5 hours removed. Right? The second season is 7.5 hours removed from the first season. So although you came back to the initial mazel, right? Levana was the mazel where the Nisan season began, and you came back to that, but it's a half hour into Levana. So each season will be pushed off a half hour further into this Shiva Koich Ve'Lecha cycle. Ve'en Tkufa Meshechet Mechaverta El Chatzisha. Each season will be pushed off into this system of these seven celestial bodies, a half hour discrepancy from the previous season. One more thing you need to know, Vamar Shmuel, Ein lecha tkufas nisan, shenefeles betzedek. Sometimes we have a situation where when the seasons encounter one of these specific celestial bodies, these seven bodies on the list, they result in some unusual phenomena, weather, etc., in the world. So Shmuel says that Ein lecha tkufas nisan shenefeles betzedek. You won't have a situation where the tkufas nisan, the nisan season, that should fall out during the mazel of tzedek, which is Jupiter, where it doesn't cause havoc in the world. She'ena meshaber se'ilonis. It doesn't break the trees, meaning it creates storms and winds and creates havoc in the weather experienced in this world. Ve'en lecha tkufas teves shenefeles betzedek. Likewise, the tkufa of teves, which is the winter season, when that season inaugurates during the mazel of tzedek, shenefeles betzedek, which is Jupiter, that causes dryness. She'en yabeshes es hazroim. It doesn't happen that it encounters tzedek and doesn't have a drying effect on the plants. Vuhu, but that's only provided that there's not element present. The Yisyad Levana, that the new moon of the month of Nisan, we spoke about the Tkufas Nisan, now we're speaking about the new moon, when the moon is visible, the new moon is visible of Nisan, or the new moon of Teves, right, we discussed the Tkufas Nisan, which brings which wreaks havoc. We discussed the Tkufas Teves, which can do the same. That's only if the new moon of those respective months has appeared during the mazal, one of these two mazalis, Oib Levana, during the mazal of Levana, when Levana governs, Oib Tzedek, or when the mazal of Tzedek, Jupiter, governs. So we have this combination. This causes, wreaks havoc and confusion in the weather that we experience in this world. Okay, so in summary, we learned about taking a city and squaring it, specifically to align with the Ruchai Sa'olam, how we meant to determine the proper direction of the world. The Mo gives us two formulas, even by taking a look at the bodies up above, the Egla, which is with Safin, the Akav, which is with Darim, or based on the sun's location, which depends on the part of the year that we're at. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, HaMarabeya Se'ir, when he goes ahead and squares a round city. So let's say we have a perfect circle with a diameter of 2,000. He's going to square that into a square of 2,000 by 2,000. Now, we're speaking about virtually squaring it, when I'm actually rebuilding the city. But in terms of creating a virtual city, in order to calculate the Tchum Shabbos from that city, so he squares the round city into a square. Oysa ke metavlam robah, so he turns it into a square tray. So that's as far as the city. What about as far as the boundaries, the tchumen extending 2,000 from the city? How does he do that? The chayzer umrabeya is a tchumen. And likewise, he goes and he makes a square around that square. He makes a very large square all around that square city. Va'isa oisan kimon tavlun rabas. And he forms the tchum, the 2,000 amah tchum boundary around the city as another big, huge square tree. Ukshi moided, when he's going to calculate the tchum, which is meant to extend 2,000 from the city, lo yimdad me'emtzah karen. He should not calculate, he should not begin counting from the middle of that corner. Al pai mama. Don't count 2,000 from there. We're going to see soon what this means. Mipnei shu mafsid es azovyos. He's going to lose some territory from the corners. Meaning, we have this round city, which was now squared. He'd like to calculate the 2,000 amah tchum. The Gemara says, don't go ahead and draw a diagonal line from that, for instance, upper right corner, 2,000 amah beyond, because it's going to shorten your tchum considerably. Let's remember, a diagonal takes up more space than a straight line. So if he draws the tchum around the city based on that diagonal 2,000 line, meaning wherever he ends, 2,000 amah line ends, he's going to use that as the outermost point of the tchum and draw a line around the city, form the square around the city based on that, he's going to end up with a very narrow tchum. It's actually going to be 1,428 from the city. So don't do that. Rather, Ela mevi tavla merubas. Bring along a tray, a virtual tray, of a square tray, she alpaim amo, alpaim amo, a square which is 2,000 by 2,000. Umanicha bekeren balachsoin. Place that tray, that square, the corner of that tray should touch the upper right corner of that squared city. And as a result, he's going to gain a lot of walking space. Why? Because two things happen. Number one, you square the city. That's first of all. So you gain a lot right there. You turned a circle with a diameter of 2,000 into a square of 2,000 by 2,000, which has a diagonal, which is much more than 2,000. Diagonal of this type of square is actually 2,800 amah. Working with the formula that the diagonal of the square is 1.4 of the straight angle of the square. So you now added a lot more. Before you got to the tchum, you've already added much. How much? Well, if you had a diameter of just 2,000, and now you have a diagonal of 2,800, so you've added 400 per corner. So let's say, if we take a look at the upper right corner of that newly squared city, you've added another 400 there of walking territory, which is the distance from that round angle at the upper right corner till the actual corner of that square. It's 400 amos. 400 amos on that side, 400 amos on the other corner. That's number one. So that's the Gemara right now. Nimtza Seir Mistakeres Arba Meos Amos Lekan. As a result of squaring the city actually gained 400 Amos on this side. Va'arba Meos Amos Lekan, another 400 on the other side. So that's due to the fact that you squared the city. Then you have an additional gain due to the fact that you added those square tchumen rather than just drawing a straight diagonal line of 2,000. How much did you gain by doing that? Let's calculate. If you would have had just a straight line running from the city, you would have ended at 2,000. Now that you place that square, 2,000 by 2,000, next to the corner of that city, what is the diagonal of that square? It's way more than 2,000. It's 2,800. So now you've added another 800 of walking space. Nimtzu tchumen mistakrin ches meyes amas lekan. As a result of this method, the tchum has now been expanded 800 amas in this direction. Ushmoyne meyes lekan. Another 800 amas in the other direction, meaning at the other corner. So what is the total gain here? You have 400 from the city. Right? You added 400 by squaring the city itself. You've added another 800 by forming the tchum in this manner, using the square which has a diagonal of 2,800. So as a result, how much was added? How much more walking space was added to the city? Let's say a person decides to walk out of the upper right corner of the city. So had it just been a round city with a straight line of 2,000 extending from that city, that's all he has is 2,000. The fact that you squared the city, that added another 400. The fact that you configured those tchumen using this square method, you've added another 800. That gives you a total of an additional 1,200, which you would not have otherwise had. Nimtzo iru tchumen mistakren, the gain of the city and the tchumen will be elef ha-masayim l'kan, 1,200 in this direction, ve'elef ha-masayim l'kan, and likewise 1,200 at the other direction, at the other corner. Rabbi, this result is to be found b'masa by a city that have a trei alfi, which is 2,000 by 2,000. So we're working with this case study, an example of a city which is 2,000 by 2,000, which results in these numbers being achieved. But the same concept will apply to any size city. Continues the Gemara. Tanya, we learned in the Brice. Amar, Rav Lezer, Rav Yosi. Now we know that the halachas of Tchumei Shabbos are derived from where? From the cities given to the Levim. We learned this earlier in Daphne Aleph. They had a Tchum of 2,000 extending from their city. They were meant to be squared in accordance with the Ruch HaYisraelim, as we learned earlier. So the Ari Levim is actually the source for the halacha by Shabbos as well. So the Gemara will embark on a discussion regarding the exact description of the Arei HaLevim. Says the Gemara, Tchum Arei Levim al Paimam. The boundary which extended from the Arei Levim was 2,000. Tzeimehen Elef Amah Migrush. They talked 1,000 for Migrush. The first 1,000 of that 2,000 Tchum was meant to be kept clear. Not meant to be planted in. It was meant to be a clear open space to afford beauty to the city. So the first 1,000 is meant to be empty, the next 1,000 meant to be cultivated. Nimtza migrash revia. As a result, the clear space was a quarter of the entire territory, which the Gemara soon will delve into to understand exactly how we derive at this calculation. So that was the first 1,000, empty, migrash, v'ashar. And the remainder of the territory was sadeh sekrumim, fields and vineyards. That was in the second 1,000 amma extending from the city. So the tchum of the city was 2,000. It contained two elements. First 1,000 was clear. The second 1,000 was filled with sadeh sekrumim. Manan and Billy, how do we know that the tchum of the Levim entailed both of these elements? Amarava damakra mikiro ir v'chutza elef amma saviv. So one pasuk tells us that there's a wide swath of land around the wall of the city, 1,000 amma wide. Amr Torah, Saviv Seir Be'elef, surrounded with a swath of 1,000. And we have another pasuk, actually the next pasuk, which speaks about a tchum of 2,000 around the city. So which one is it? Is it 1,000 or 2,000? The answer is describing two different facets of the tchum. The first 1,000 was meant to be open and uncultivated. The second 1,000 can be filled with sadeh sekrum. Okay. Let's go back to the Braisa, which described the Migrash portion as being a quarter, covering a quarter of the territory of the total area. Nimtza Migrash Aviyah. Says Mar, how does that work? If the Tchum extended 2,000 from that city, the first 1,000 was Migrash. So it's a half of the Tchum, it's not a quarter. Revia, Palgahavi, it's a half. So how do we get to a quarter? Amar Rava, Bar Adam Shecha. This fellow Barada, who was a professional surveyor, Asbury, he explained it to me as follows. Meshkachasla, we find this formula that the Migrash will be a quarter of the total territory, but Masa da have a trey alfi. In a city that is 2,000 amma wide by 2,000 amma long. Now, the Gemara is going to work with a formula of squares of 1,000 amma by 1,000 amma. That's going to serve as the building blocks for calculating territory. Okay, so this city here is 2,000 by 2,000, which has four of these squares, 1,000 by 1,000 each. Now, how much territory did the tchum encompass? Tchum kama havya. Now, one more thing. The Gemara is going to discuss the territory around these cities and classify it in two ways. There's the tchum, and there's the Kronis. They're both really speaking about the territory around the city, but the Tchum is the part of the territory which extends alongside the city itself, adjacent to the city, to the right, to the left, up and down. They have the Kronis, which are the corners. The territory surrounding the city, but not adjacent to the city itself. They're coming out of the corners. So just for clarity, for added clarity, we're going to classify it in two categories. We have the Tchum, we have the Kronis. They're both referring to the area around the city. Okay, so getting back to our city, which was 2,000 by 2,000. Tchum kama havya. How large was the tchum territory? Meaning, how many squares of 1,000 by 1,000? How many of these cubes were involved in creating the tchum around the city? Shitza, 16. Why? Very simple, because the tchum extended 2,000 away from the city, and the city is 2,000 wide. So the tchum is effectively 2,000 by 2,000. Which contains four of these squares of 1,000 by 1,000 each. Now the tchum extended to all sides of the city. One to the right, one to the left, one to the front, one to the back. So if each one of these directions had four cubes, so times four is a total of 16. Tchum kamahavi, shitza, 16 of these squares. Kronis kamahavi. What about those corners, which we haven't yet accounted for? They also had 16 squares, because each corner had to be filled with four of these cubes. So four times four, 16. A total of how many cubes? 32 of these squares. Okay, now how much of that was the Migrash, which was the first 1,000 portion extending from the city? Dal Tamanya de Tchumen. So let's again break it down to the Tchumen and the Kronis. So how much of the Tchumen needed to be deducted for the Migrash? So let's take the Tchum off to the right, which was 2,000 by 2,000. The first 1,000 is the Migrash. So you have two cubes there that belong to the Migrash. So we have two from the right, two from the left, two from the top, two from the bottom. So Dal Tmayin Tchumen. Deduct eight of these squares from the Tchumen territory and grant it for the Migrash. Vabar the Kronis. And how many squares were deducted from the Kronis for the sake of the Migrash? Four. One per corner. Kamahavi, what is the total of the Migrash tracer? 12 of these cubes. So 12 out of how many in total? We said there were 32 cubes in total, covering the Kronis and the Tchumen. So the Migrash, which is now 12, it's 12 out of 32. Nimtza Migrash Revia? How does that result in the Migrash being a quarter of the entire territory? Famous loss in him. Actually, more than a third. It's 12 out of 32. Says the Gemara, we need to add one more thing into the grand total. I say, Arba de Masa. Shadelayo. Let's add the space of the actual city, which was not yet accounted for. It wasn't included in the total area space that we discussed. So the city itself has four cubes of 1,000 each. Add that to the 32 cubes already accounted for. That gives us a total of 36 cubes. So now that the Migrash is 12 out of 36, that also doesn't equal a quarter. Akati tilsahavi. She brought it down, it's a third, but it's still only a third, it's not a quarter. Says the Gemara, one more thing you need to know. Mi savas biribua kamar? Do you think we're speaking about a square city? Bi gula kamar. It's a round city. So it was built as a circle, but it was reconfigured halachically as a square, but technically it's really only a circle. Now the Migrash is this wide swath of land, this 1,000 amah wide piece of land, clear land, empty land, which forms a band around the city. Now, if the city is round, then the Migrash is round. So let's change the total territory of that Migrash, because we've discussed the Migrash being 12 squares of 1,000 each. That was based on the notion that the Migrash was square, around a square city. But if the city is really round, the Migrash is really round, let's deduct something from that Migrash. What is the difference between the area space of a square and the area space of a circle? 25% discrepancy. Kama maruba yosel eagle. How much larger is a square than a circle? Revia. It encompasses 25% more area space than a circle of the same dimension. So we have a circle which is an amma in diameter, circumference of 3, and you have a square which is an amma by amma. The area space of that square will be covering 25% more territory than the circle with that dimension. So that's the form we're going to work with. So let's deduct 25% from the Migrash, which was purported to be 12 of these squares, but now is really a quarter less because it's round. Dalar via minayit, let's deduct a quarter. Pashlo tisha, leaves us with 9. You took a quarter off 12, you have 9 of these squares which entail the Migrash territory. So 9 out of a total of how many squares? V'tisha metlasa mishita rivahavi. 9 out of 36 is really a quarter. So we have it all worked out. We take the entire territory of the city, the tumen, the krones, which are now diced into cubes of 1,000 by 1,000, for a total of 36 cubes. The Migrash, which was this 1,000 amah wide swath of land, which surrounded this round city, only covered a territory equal to 9 of these squares, which is exactly a quarter of the total territory. So that's Mishan de Braisa, which says, Nimsa Migrash Revia. The Migrash was a quarter of the total territory. That's Rav's approach. Abaye Amar, he says, I have another approach. Another approach where we don't have to take into account the city's territory into the total. Mishkachas Lanami, we can also find this formula that the Migrash covers a quarter of the total territory in the following scenario. The Masa, with a city, Dahavia Alpha Bauf, which was smaller in size, 1,000 by 1,000. So that's the city. Now let's calculate the territory around the city, the Tchumen. So we have Tchumen, we have Kronis, right? The Tchumen is the territory which extends from the city itself, adjacent to the city itself. We have the Kronis, which are those corner portions next to the corners of the city. Let's make a calculation. How much territory is required for both those elements? Tchumen kamahavu. How much space did the Tchumen occupy? Tmanya. A total of 8 cubes of 1,000 by 1,000. So you have the city, which is 1,000 in the middle. We have the Tchum to the right, extending 2,000. But since the city here is only 1,000 wide, so Tchum is 2,000 long by 1,000 wide, which has two of those cubes within it. So that happens to the right. That happens to the left as well, to the top and to the bottom. So the Tchumen cover an area which has 8 cubes of 1,000 each. What about the corners, the kronis? Kronis kamahavi shitza, 16 of those cubes. We have very large corners to fill now. Each corner has 4 of those cubes, giving us a total of 16 squares for all the corners. So 16 for the corners, 8 for the actual tchumen, a total of 24 of these squares. Okay, let's address the Migrash. What proportion of this was designated for the Migrash, the open area? Dal arba de tchumen. Let's deduct four of these cubes from the tchumen, which will be contributed for the Migrash. Right, because the tchum extends 2,000 beyond the city. 1,000 of that, one of those cubes belongs to the Migrash. So one cube per tchum. Varba de kornis. And each keren will contribute one cube for the Migrash as well. So each keren gives you one. You have four kornis for a total of four. Kama havi tmanya. That gives you a total of eight of these squares for the sake of the Migrash. Right? Four were taken from the tchumen, four from the kornis. So it's eight out of a total of how many squares within the entire area of the tchumen and kornis? 24. Tell Sahabu. That equals a third. 8 out of 24, that's not a quarter. Says the Gemara, one more thing you need to know. Misavas viribu okama? Do you think we're speaking about a square city? In which case, the Migrash needs to be configured as a square as well. In which case, you end up with 8 cubes for the Migrash, which is a third of the total, and doesn't work out. No bigul okama? We're speaking about a round city. In which case, this swath of land, this Migrash, is going to be configured as a circle around that round city. Now, by doing so, you can deduct some space, some territory from that Migrash by 25%. Kama maruba yasal igel. How much more space does a square occupy? How much more than a circle of that same dimension? Revia, a quarter more. So now that we take a squarely configured Migrash and downscale to a circle, you can deduct a quarter. So if you began with 8, the Migrash had 8 of those squares, Dal Revia, deduct a quarter, Pashalushita. That leaves you with 6. 6 out of how many in total? 24. It's exactly a quarter. Vishitim Chavdalit, Riva Havi. That leaves you with a quarter for the Migrash. So Abaye works with a city which is only 1,000 by 1,000. He works with the territory of the Kronis and the Tchumen, which equal 24 of those cubes. The Migrash being only 6 is exactly a quarter. Ravina Amar. Here's another approach to explain the price. Let's go back to the Larshai city, which was described by Rava, 2,000 by 2,000. My Revia, what does the Brisa mean when he says that the Migrash is a quarter? Revia de Tchumen. Only the Tchumen, the territory which extended from the city itself, had the concept of Migrash applied to it. The first 1,000 of that was meant to be clear. But the territory extending from the Kronis did not have this halacha, according to Ravina. So this equals a quarter. Why? Because if only the Tchumen had Migrash, so let's say on the right of the city, the first two cubes belong to the Migrash. The same on the left, same on the top, same on the bottom. So it only gives you a total of 8 cubes for the Migrash. Out of a total of how many cubes which were involved in forming the Tchumen and the Kronis? 32. So it's 8 out of 32, which is a quarter. Rav Ashi Amar, he has a different approach, just the opposite. He says that only the Kronites had Migrash. Only the territory extended from the corner of the city had to contribute to the Migrash. The first 1,000 belonged to the Migrash. If that's the case, then we also have a solution to our problem. Rav Ashi Amar, my Revia, what does the Braisa mean when it says the Migrash covered a quarter of the territory? Revia the Kronites. A quarter of the territory involved in forming those Kronites. Because, it's very simple, only the Kronis need to contribute to making of the Migrash. So each corner which has four of those cubes contributed one, the first 1,000, one for the Migrash. So we have one cube of Migrash on either corner of the city for a total of four. How many cubes were involved in creating those Kronis? So each Karen has four cubes. One on either side of the city gives you 16. The Migrash is 4 to 16, which is exactly a quarter. Amar Ravina Lavashi, how can you say that? That only the corners needed to contribute to the Migrash. For Savavksiv, the pasuk describing the Migrash, says clearly it was around the city, implying that it was all the way around, not just on the corners. It says, well, my Saviv, Saviv the Kronis. Saviv can also be referring to corners. Because once something is situated at the corners, that is also considered to be surrounding the area. Because if you don't agree with this, I'm going to explain the following pasuk. The Kana would spritz the dam of the oila on the Mizbeach Saviv. Here too, are you going to say it was all around the Mizbeach? We know that not to be so. They would only spray on the corners. Elamai, Saviv, Saviv the corners. Apparently, Saviv is referring to corners. Hachanami here as well, my Saviv. When the pasuk describes the Migrash as being Saviv, Saviv the corners, it was all along the corners. Continues the Gemara. We have two more kashas. Amalei Rav Chavivi Michuzno Rav Ashi. So we describe the Migrash surrounding this round city as only being a round Migrash, and therefore covered less space. But wasn't the city squared? That was the most basic thing we learned today, that a city is meant to be squared. So once the city has corners, those corners protrude and interfere with the round migrash around the city. It takes away from the migrash and interferes with the territory of the migrash. Va'ika Moshe de Karnasa. You have those corners of this squared city which is going to interfere with this round band, this round swath of land, configured like a circle, around the city which has now turned into a square. So you're going to be taking away from the migrash. So this is what Moshe Gulta was speaking about, a round city, not a square city. But Ribua, what do you mean? You've squared it. Says more Aimud Amrinon. Chazinon command the Ramaba. We only said that we view it as though it's been squared. Ribui Vade mi Mirabana? Did we actually square it? We didn't rebuild the city. So when it comes to turning the Tumen, we view it as a square city, but practically it's a round city. So it won't interfere at all with the Migrash, this wide swath of land, which is making its way around that city. I have another kasha. We began the sugi by saying that if we have a city which is 2,000 by 2,000, and he goes ahead and establishes the tchumen by merely drawing a diagonal from the city 2,000 amas long, he's going to end up losing a lot. Rather, create a square of 2,000 by 2,000, place it by the corner of that city, which will land you a diagonal of 2,800. So it's going to add another 800 to the tchum of the city. How could that be? How could there be a discrepancy to that extent? Michti, let's take a look. Kama meruba yasal igel, rivia. How much larger is the total surface area of a square than the surface area of a circle of the same dimension? It's a quarter more, 25% larger. So now a case where he drew a 2,000 amma line coming straight out of the city. Let's say you go ahead and form a circle around that line. So the circle now has a diameter of 2,000. And you take that circle and expand it into a square. You just transformed it into a ribua. What have you done? You have increased that total space by 25%. So this 2,000 amma line should be increased merely by 25%. So you take 2,000 and turn it into 2,666 and 2/3. How do you get to 2,800, which is way more than 25% difference? Says the Mahani Tamni Meya, these 800 that you're describing, it should be much less. Shis Meya, 600, Vishisim Visheva, and 67 Nikitilsa, minus a third Havi. That's what it should be. It should be 666 and 2/3. So how do you get to 2,800 from 2,000? Malaysi told him, this formula that you've suggested, the 25% discrepancy, doesn't apply here. That's only applied when you were dealing with a total area space. Yeah, the area space of a square is 25% more than the area space of a circle. But when we're dealing with specific angles within a circle or within the square, there certainly could be a greater discrepancy. That's only when you're forming a circle within a square, you're speaking about the area space. When we're speaking about a diagonal, you certainly need much more. So if you have a circle with a diameter of 2,000, and then you create a square which is 2,000 by 2,000, the diagonal of that square will be way more than 2,000. It's going to be 2,800, because the diagonal is 1.4 than the straight line of that square. The Amamar, as we learned, Kol Amso Beribua. When you have a square of an Amma by an Amma, Amso Tzri Chumashi Balachsoina, its diagonal will be an Amma and 2/5. So in our case where the square is 2,000 by 2,000, its diagonal will indeed be 2,800. Okay, time for a brief, a very brief review of today's daf. We learned that when establishing a tchumen around the city, first we square the city, and we went to have the square face the directions of the world, which are discernible through the constellations, or through the position of the sun. The Uri HaLevim as well was squared and contained an empty space around the city, which encompassed a quarter of the territory, for which the Gemara gives us four explanations.